Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
We are now digging through all of the facts to kind of learn as to how the assassination against Charlie Kirk even happened in the first place. It's hard to wrap your mind around. I mean, I've been waking up thinking that this was all just a really bad dream, and it's not, unfortunately. This is the reality. We have far left-wing terrorists living in this country right now, and we have to crack down on this. This was a very serious issue, unfortunately, that has not been taken very seriously. And Charlie Kirk, I mean, according to the president, one of his last discussions was blowing the whistle on how egregious these far left-wing organizations were getting and how the president, the federal government, needed to get a grip and go after them. Unfortunately, Charlie paid the ultimate consequence in all of this with his life. Now, although we all know where Charlie is now, it should have never happened in the first place. It shouldn't have happened in the first place. And it's egregious. It's infuriating. But we're learning more and more about the groups this individual may have been associated with. Again, these are just reports. We're not really getting much in the way of, I haven't seen much in the way of transparency at this point. You know, we're seeing press conferences where they're saying there was Discord chats, the Discord saying there were no chats. We're also seeing leaks being leaked to both the New York Post and Daily Mail, which has been enlightening. But again, I can't 100% say with confidence because it's just the report, whether these things are true or not. Joining me to discuss is Viva Fry. He is an incredible host over on Rumble. He's a great show that he does every single day. He's also a former litigator, and he is with us now. Viva, I'm excited to have you on today's program, my friend. A lot going on in the world, and it's been a very sad last few days, given the fact that we lost the incredible Charlie Kirk. I just want to take a moment before we dive into the topics for today, for you to reflect on Charlie. I know I had the honor of meeting him once at the RNC inside the Rumble studio, and he seemed like an incredible person, but I didn't know him closely. I know so many people are coming out and talking about how he used to send them scripture all the time, that he was just an inspirational person, but your reaction to both who he was and the legacy he leaves behind?
Well, I knew him less well than others, but I knew him well enough. I mean, I'd been on his show a few times over a few years. I'd known him for a few years. You know, they had to pick someone who's, I say, innocent in the sense of pure. They're trying to do everything they can in their power to demonize him retroactively, to make it seem as though somehow it's either morally justified for these psychopaths or not a tragedy because. And you have people now, you know, they called him a bigot, a racist, all of the words they use to describe people who are Christian and proud Christians for, you know, the better part of a decade, and then act all shocked and surprised as how something like this happens. But they have to and had to pick someone innocent and pure in a spiritual sense in order for it to have the impact that it has had. Picking on people who are loathed in media universally or bipartisanly, it wouldn't have been the same shocking impact as this. And in the wake of it, it's like, you know, Robert Barnes and I were talking about it last night during our show. There's three levels of shock, you know, how it could happen. I forget what the third one was, the second one was, but the third one was the public reaction to this. It's repulsive. It's abhorrent. It's not civilized nation responses. It is animal responses from people who are, it's one thing to engage in vitriol on Twitter and then the internet. People do it. It's the internet culture, you know, GKYS is something you see all the time. It's, you know, people say it all the time on the internet. It's another thing to actually post your, I'm looking at these ugly faces.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It's another thing. It's one thing to say, like, you know, go FYS on Twitter, go G key, you know, go kill yourself. It's one of the tropes. It's another thing to post videos as though this wasn't a human, as though this wasn't a man, a father, a son, a brother, and as though this man was the equivalent of Hitler. I mean, it is what happens in the mind of a demented individual when they equate silence to violence, when they equate words to violence. Well, then you get to fight silence and words with violence, and it's morally justified in your unhinged head. And the amount of people, reasonable people who I know directly, like, this is not just abstract avatars, real people, real faces in social circles, it's abhorrent. And I don't know what it takes for a society to take a step back. These people have taken so many steps forward. There is no backing down from having rejoiced in the assassination of a peaceful man only speaking words. There's no backing down from that. So all those people need to be remembered and need to be avoided and shunned, but there are a lot of them, and it's really, really despairing to see the amount of rejoicing psychopaths on this earth, on campuses, on social media, on Facebook, on Blue Sky, rejoicing in this as though it was Osama bin Laden. And even when it was Osama bin Laden, I'm going to go pull up my tweet from back. You don't rejoice in the fact that you even had to kill a terrorist. You say, okay, it was a necessary thing to do. You don't rejoice in murder unless you are a villainous psychopath. And we are witnessing a generation of villainous psychopaths on social media who think it's cutesy to bat their eyelashes and say, I'm so glad. It's psychotic, period. I don't know where it goes from here.
Yeah. And, you know, I was a little relieved when I heard President Trump say that there are ongoing investigations regarding a lot of these groups that we're discussing right now. Let's play that soundbite because I think that was very enlightening and it brought me a lot of hope.
Well, the problem is on the left. If you look at the problem is on the left. It's not on the right, like some people like to say on the right. The problem we have is on the left. And when you look at the agitators, you look at the scum that speaks so badly of our country, the American flag burnings all over the place, that's the left, that's not the right.
Do you plan on investigating?
We'll see. We'll be announcing. Okay. They're already under investigation. You know, they're already under major investigation. A lot of the people that you would traditionally say are on the left.
They're already under
investigation? Already under investigation.
All right, when it comes to RICO, this is a possibility, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, the question I would have to follow up was already as in post-assassination or pre-assassination.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I'm not besmirching the current FBI and there's no but to that. Historically, there have been a great number of cases where the FBI might have been tailing the terrorist as he went to the Draw Muhammad thing that happened a while back. You know, they might have been tailing him as it happened. There are a number of cases where the FBI had advanced knowledge of a number of things. Yeah, he was known to law enforcement. So were they investigating prior to the assassination or is this new after and they're going to actually, you know, enforce the law?
Yeah, I think it's an important question to ask because, again, you know, and I was enraged when I saw it, but we sat there and watched as people like Bill Gates was sitting at the White House just, what was it, last week? And a lot of his donations have gone to these far left groups, I should say. And the reality of it is they all need to be investigated. I mean, the fact that Soros' money is making its way into all of these groups and he is a foreigner and we should not be allowing this to happen is gut-wrenching because it is happening. But then when you see, you know, Zuckerberg sitting there and Bill Gates and, you know, the usual characters that we know are not our allies in this fight for freedom, they're sitting there. They got a seat at the White House. It's a bit enraging. How do we go after the funding in all of this? Because the funding is the key problem. Once the funding goes away, then these groups will slowly start to fall off, too.
Well, I mean, it was Cernovich, I think, was the first person I saw who made this observation. So I've got to give this credit of this bit of wisdom to Cernovich, Mike Cernovich, said, investigate and defund these organizations. Soros, Open Borders, Open Society, sorry, not Open Borders. Investigate these activist organizations who are financing the upheaval. It's very easy. And whether or not RICO charges can originate from it, you know, investigate and defund, period. The government's, to some extent, the country's literally funding its own demise. And the outside forces who seek to destabilize, sovereign nations for the purposes of justifying a perpetual surveillance state, justifying a one world government. I mean, they have a clear agenda to this and they have a clear role in it. And so like Cernovich says, investigate them, RICO charges if warranted and defund and prosecute. Even if there's no RICO there, the level of corruption that exists that has never been explored, that has never, the surface has never been scratched. It's like, it's the joke, sort of. You scratch the surface with Adam Schiff, you find mortgage fraud. You scratch the surface with Lisa Cook, you find mortgage fraud. You scratch the surface with the Letitia James, the people who've been prosecuting the Republicans, you'll find the fraud. Scratch the surface on these corrupt organizations and you'll find the criminality. But it hasn't been done yet and the time is long overdue.
Yeah, it is long overdue. And I was hoping that this ball was rolling from day one. I was hoping that the DOJ had a blueprint on what they were going to be doing. Doesn't look to be the case, but again, we don't know 100%. Maybe there was something going on behind closed doors. Normally, I do hear whispers, but I was not hearing any whispers on this front. So we do hope that there is going to be some moves here because this is something that should be a top priority for this administration. They have been on the receiving end of a lot of this harassment, the abuse, the assaults, and so they need to correct this. Viva, I want to thank you for joining me today. You do an incredible job over on Rumble. So folks, give him a follow there as well on X. It is a pleasure to have you on my very first American Journal hosting show. So thank you for being here with me, Sarah. I appreciate it as always.
Our world is so full of hype. We are force-fed dehumanizing propaganda by the corporate media, by the controlled churches and the universities. And why is this the case? Because we innately, by God, have been given the keys to our own minds, our own psyches, our own souls. And by connecting to God, we can empower ourselves and transcend the, quote, fallen or sinful state. So the chemicals that we ingest and all the things that we try to bring into our bodies to change who we are only lowering us. They're only making us more depressed. In the end, they're only making us less fulfilled. It is only by going within and really making that connection to God that we can truly empower ourselves. That's why the globalists bombard us with toxins and chemicals to block us getting the normal vitamins and minerals and trace elements our bodies need to be healthy and to be able to basically reach out beyond the third dimension. And that's where the incredible products come in at InfoWarsStore.com.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effect that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, thealtruststore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a 5-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue bare minimum at thealchemyststore.com.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you, whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Folks, this has been a very interesting week, especially for the MAHA movement. And if you haven't been paying attention, well, luckily we have. And we've been following some very critical measures that have been taking place over at the CDC. Now, as many of you guys know, RFK Jr. has been shaking up the CDC because he's had enough of the CDC being so, let's just say, bought off by Big Pharma. Joining me now to discuss is Tom Redds. He's an incredible attorney. He is a freedom fighter, especially when it comes to medical freedom. And he joins us now on the program. Tom, thank you for joining us. I'm excited that you're here because there's a lot of great changes happening over at the CDC. And although it's slowly happening, we're very optimistic, obviously. This big change happening yesterday, they're looking to tweak the recommendations for the measles vaccines, which includes protections against chickenpox. Your reaction to the changes that were voted on yesterday?
Well, this is really just common sense, right? So if we look at this, the MMRV vaccine, which is the MMR vaccine plus the chickenpox vaccine, is much like every other childhood vaccine, improperly studied, understudied, and the follow-ups have really been, at best, weak. There really just isn't much. So this is a very sensible move. The risk of seizures that they talked about yesterday versus the case fatality rate of these various diseases is it's huge, right? So with the seizures, I believe they're looking at in some cases I think they're saying up to 3 to 5%, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at the case fatality rate of a lot of these diseases, you're looking at 0.01 to 0.05%. I mean, you're looking at sometimes almost, just tens and tens of tens higher risks that over the risk of the disease. The diseases aren't that dangerous. Nobody dies from chickenpox, right? Nobody mm-hmm. dies from rubella. And it's not just because of the vaccines. It's because the diseases just aren't that dangerous.
Yeah. And I think it's important for folks to remember that. Now, the CDC is meeting again today, and they're looking to vote potentially on the hepatitis B vaccines, it looks like, as well, which is very strange. Can you break down what it's the current recommendation is and what potentially they're going to be looking to vote on? Because I was shocked. Now, obviously, I'm not a parent, so I learned this when I was talking to my friends who are becoming parents, when they were told, or when the hospitals tried to grab their newborns just a couple of hours after being born, and they were being given this vaccine, and it took a lot for the parents to step in and shut it down before they were able to do it. But why the heck are we giving these vaccines to newborns?
So there's no good reason at all. This is one of the most mind-blowing things ever. One of the things that we need to really start out with is understand that every single, and I've went through every one of them, I went through every single childhood vaccine on the schedule, and I looked at the studies, the original studies to approve them. Not one of those studies was without major flaws. Then once the vaccines are approved and on the schedule, there's no follow-up. There's only VAERS. Now, VAERS, according to the law and according to everything, is not reliable because nobody reports. They're supposed to, but they don't. So there's no reporting system, no follow-up to determine whether these flawed studies actually were flawed. So what's happened is Big Pharma will do flawed studies to get approved because they own HHS. They get the approval, and then no one follows up to determine the actual safety or efficacy. So when Bobby's talking about safety efficacy studies, that's what he's saying. And the Hep V vaccine is one of the most profound examples, right? The Hep B vaccine is something where unless mom has hepatitis, there's absolutely no reason to give it. Hepatitis B is something transmitted through drug use or sharing needles or unsafe sex practices. How many infants are doing that? And the answer is none, right? So there's no benefit to doing this. And you can test mom to see if she has Hep B. And if mom is not out, engaging in unsafe practices, it's pretty clear that mom probably doesn't have Hep B. So this is something that that has absolutely no benefit for a vast, vast, vast majority of the population, but does put the children at risk. The only reason they're pushing this is because pharma makes money on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's disturbing that that's the reason. But again, we've been talking about this for quite some time, that how financially motivated they are to push these vaccines onto newborns. Tom, I have to ask, and I'm very curious what you're going to answer this, because I am someone who has a lot of friends who are having children right now, and they don't know what vaccines to give their kids. They're looking at the recommendations and they're overwhelmed. There's so many studies out there that show that, yeah, they're safe and effective, but there's all these other type of factors that they don't know about because they're not experts on this issue. What would you recommend for new parents who are looking at the childhood vaccine recommendations right now? What should be a top priority, if any, of these vaccines at all?
I'm going to be real honest with you. One of my great regrets is that I vaccinated my children. I was pro-vax, very pro-vax up until COVID. And then I learned what I learned, and I've gone through it. I've literally went through every single one of these. And I wouldn't give my child one of them. Not one of them, in my opinion, has been properly proven safe or effective. And I would debate any expert out there on this without hesitation, because there really isn't proper study, proper follow-up. There's insinuations, there's suggestions, there's all sorts of things. But when you look at the study design of all of these, there's a couple of very common themes that you see in all these studies. So they will have small sample sizes that can't possibly capture some of these more rare side effects. And you've got to understand that a lot of these vaccines are there to prevent diseases that have such a low risk of death that they provide very little, if any, benefit at all. I mean, chickenpox, when we were kids, you would have chickenpox parties, so your parents could just get it done, right? So everybody got it at once, and you didn't have to worry about it. Nobody dies from chickenpox, right? But when you look at the studies across the board, we have all these vaccines, and most of these diseases aren't all that dangerous. And then when you look at some of the diseases that are more dangerous, like polio, everybody wants to talk about polio. The studies that say that the polio vaccine were safe, the studies that it was approved on, really weren't that good. And polio has been very well documented. The drop in polio had a lot less to do with the vaccine than it did with sanitation practices and all the different things that changed as we came to the modern era. The timing made it look very coincidental. But not one of these studies, not one of these vaccines has been approved on a proper gold standard study that would pass real muster if anybody was looking into it. Not one. And I say that not as a scientist. I say it as an attorney who's spent the last 5 years spending every moment of his time looking at how I would cross-examine someone on this, right? It's just, there's no answers.
Yeah. And it's disturbing. It really is disturbing, Tom, that this is still an ongoing issue here, because it's been going on for many, many years. And there's a lot of people out there who are trying to shun those who come forward and ask these simple questions and try to question the legitimacy behind a lot of these vaccine data that they keep pouring out there. But again, they don't want us talking about that. But I wanted to shift our attention a little bit, because yesterday we were covering it. RFK Jr., alongside with Dr. Oz, they came out to talk about organ harvesting. And ultimately, there's a lot of reforms going on. It sounds like, and I know, America First Legal is digging into this a little bit more, but it sounds like under the Biden regime, there was a lot of financial incentives that were given to hospitals based on how many more organ transplants that they were able to get donors from. There was also DEI that they're accusing them of potentially participating in, maybe prioritizing someone else on the list based on those standards. And so while, America First Legal is digging into this, RFK Jr. has said he's seen enough, he's had enough, and he's ready to work on some reforms right now. Some of those reforms include an agency that he's accusing of very, very concerning accusations. It's called Life Alliance Organ Recovery Agency, and they're based out of the University of Miami Health System. They're one of their divisions there now. They're one of 55 organ procedure organizations, but ultimately what HHS is accusing them of is they're claiming that at least 28 patients may have not been deceased at the time that their organs were being harvested. And obviously that's something that's extremely concerning. So they're one of the groups that the administration is looking to block from being able to continue to participate in all of this, because that is extremely reckless and inhumane to do. What is your reaction to the changes that are being made right now by HHS, who's continuously actually, and I should say, that they are still investigating a lot of these groups, so it's still ongoing, but they're making some immediate changes right now?
They need to. I mean, this is horrifying. Much like vaccines, I used to be a fan of the whole organ donation thing, but it's horrific. Not only are there the 28 cases that you mentioned, there's another statistic out there showing that 73 of 351 reviewed cases, patients displayed neurological signs that they weren't compatible with brain death, yet they moved and they pushed through this stuff anyways. Understand that this whole thing is at best flawed and at worst corrupt. There's a lot of money in organ harvesting, right? So when you harvest the organs, there's organ harvesting itself, but then each surgery that you get from those, some hospitals making a lot of money off of that. So there's a lot of financial incentives in this. And you may say to yourself, well, that doesn't matter. No hospital would do that, except for then you go back to COVID. where we saw and we can prove and we can demonstrate that these hospitals were knowingly doing things that were killing patients for financial gain.
Tom Renz, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing and joining us this morning. Give him a follow on X.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before I work my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. But for the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at theoxygenstore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I
like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, theoxygenstore.com.